Our Old Testament reading is from Nehemiah 8, starting at verse 2. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened. Excuse me. The people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sarabiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, all those we know, instructed the people of the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so the people understood what was being said and read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And from 1 Peter. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come to you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And from John 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So I'm Rich Butterworth. I'm one of the elders here. And a couple housekeeping things. It has been a week. I had laryngitis this week, and so my voice is sort of back, but not completely all the way. And then yesterday, my father died. So here I am. And I'm just struck with how I feel like this is where I should be, talking to you about joy. Kids, I know you've got your activity books and all of that stuff, but I'm going to need your help several times during the time today. And this was planned from the beginning. I thought about this, and only the end of this week did I realize, oh, this is sort of in tribute to my dad, who would always do the children's sermon in the church where we grew up. Not when I was a kid, but later. So anyway, but it starts with you. I need your help first off, kids. So stand up for a second. Stand up. I know. It's okay. All right. So when I go like this, I need you guys to shout, "Where?" So let's try it one time.
Where?
Okay. One more time, a little bit. Yep.
Where?
All right, good. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I found the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Thank you very much. You may sit down, kids. But I will be calling on you again. All right. Okay, so in that one little song right there is the dilemma. Joy and happiness, which we get really confused. The two are not the same. And we live our life around happiness when we know the fruit of the Spirit is instead joy. So, I'm going to try to unpack that for us, for me, today, in three little sections. So the first one is going to be happiness is not joy. Second, joy is not happiness. And then third, what I'm calling buckets from the well. Essentially, how can we abide? How can we appropriate joy? What does that look like? Okay, so happiness is not joy. So intellectually, I think we all realize this, right? We know the definition of happiness is not the same as joy. Happiness depends on how we feel or the circumstances that we have. It can be anything, and it can just make us feel happy. And it also is a bit transitory, right? Like something else happens, and then we lose that thing, and so therefore it kind of flits around a bit. But I think actually happiness can be a little bit worse than that, because I think happiness can be corrupted. I think happiness is corruptible. And as long as what we're pursuing is happiness, we will never appropriate joy. So, let me give you, kids, I don't know who, if you guys remember, tell me, what's a cartoon that has a little dog in it named Snoopy? Huh? Peanuts, right, Peanuts with Charlie Brown. Okay, well, they did a musical of Charlie Brown on Broadway called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, right? And in that show, they try to define happiness. So here it goes. Happiness is finding a pencil, pizza with sausage telling the time. Happiness is learning to whistle, tying your shoe for the very first time. Happiness is playing the drum in your own school band. And happiness is walking hand in hand. Happiness is two kinds of ice cream, knowing a secret, climbing a tree. Happiness is five different crayons, catching a firefly, setting it free. Happiness is being alone every now and then. And happiness is coming home again. Happiness is morning and evening, daytime and nighttime too. For happiness is anyone and anything at all that's loved by you. You. Oh, that was a little off at the end. Okay, that's all right. Would you get this? All right. Yeah, this seems very performative, but okay, let me just explain that I do find that we hear things differently. How we receive them. This is just part of who I am, so that's how you're going to receive some of my message today, is through music. That's okay. Don't need to clap every time. Just, there you go. Okay, so what is the word that comes to mind when you hear the words of that song? To me, it's innocence. When is the last time we were happy by finding a pencil? That there were two kinds of ice cream. We're like 59 flavors, right? Like, wait, you don't have Rocky Road today? You know, we get upset because we're so used to these different choices or these different things, right? The idea of happiness can be very elusive because something that has made us happy once, well, maybe that's difficult to return to. We seek something deeper or better or more exciting, or, oh, I love this shirt, the first one I bought, I need another one,
yeah.
Right? So what happens is our happiness gets corrupted by all of these other things, by greed, by desire, by our insecurity. Sometimes we can allow ourselves to be happy when someone we don't like, something bad happens to them. I'm happy about that, right? So do you see what I mean when I say that happiness is not joy? That is not the place where we need to live. Okay, but guess what? Joy is also not happiness. Now, often when we read the scripture, I feel like we come to the scripture with the same idea about joy that we do happiness. It's like a feeling as a result of something. When we hear the words rejoice or joy in the scripture, we think, well, of course they're rejoicing. God just saved them from the Egyptians. God just parted the seas and they were saved. Or there's manna from heaven. Or, you know, David was saved from the captives. Or all of these different things have happened. So of course they feel joyful, which in our minds we translate as happy, because these good things have happened. But if that's where we stick with joy, we're missing out. See, read these words from Nehemiah that the genie just read for us today. You know, this is, the wall was built and everyone, you know, even though they heard things in the law that kind of troubled them because it was not quite consistent with the way that they were living their lives, the wall was done. So they felt good. So it was a time to rejoice. Same with the Psalms often. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, you upright in heart. It just makes me think, yeah, because we're happy. We should rejoice, right? But the scriptures are much more difficult than that. We're not the only ones that get it wrong. Okay, kids, I'm calling on you again. There was a movie not too long ago where one of the major characters was joy. What movie is that? Inside Out, that's right. That's right. Now, in the first movie, what did Joy have to work? What was her big issue? Maggie? Right, and you said it over here too. Yes, yeah. Her issue was she didn't want sadness touching anything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because she didn't want Riley, the little girl, right? She didn't want Riley to, she wanted her to be joyful, which to joy meant not sad. We can't have any sadness, because that's the only way she can experience joy. But what does she find out? Sadness is just part of life, right? Yeah? She has to figure out how the two can work together, because sadness teaches us lessons too. Sadness opens us up to things that just being happy wouldn't. And they have to figure out how to do that together. Well, the scriptures take us in the same way. The scriptures don't give us any kind of pathway that joy is happiness. You know, look at these passages in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In Thessalonians, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him. 1 Peter, that Jeannie read earlier, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal, but rejoice as you participate in the sufferings of God. And in James, count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Clearly, what Scripture teaches about joy is something far different from happiness. Joy is something deeper and richer and more consistent than happiness. It is completely disconnected from circumstances or disappointments, from failures or losses. It is something different. So, buckets from the well. How then do we root ourselves and find a place for ourselves in which we can live in joy? Well, first, I come not to bury happiness. I want to redeem happiness, okay? And I think we can do it, because I think it will help us on the path to joy. And how do we do that? Well, I would invite each of us to just reflect on what are the things that make us happy. And when we do feel happy, what does that cause us to do? If our happiness causes us to be grateful, then I think we're on the pathway to joy. I think if we are really reflective of the things that make us happy, for those instances of little miracles of joy, quite frankly, whether it's the beauty in nature or the kindness of a friend or whatever it might be, we should take time and reflect and be grateful. And think how it is a gift from our great God. I think in that way, we can try to ensure that our happiness isn't corrupted by those wrong desires, those evil desires in our hearts, those places where we just want to go to fill ourselves rather than gratefulness. So the other part is, I want to address joy directly. How then about joy? I think happiness can be a pathway, but really, how do we think about joy? So kids, one final time. Who's read this book? Frederick. Excellent. And for those of you who haven't, Sculpture Parents. Okay. Frederick is this book about a field mouse. It's like a little family of field mice, and they're preparing for the winter. The farm has been neglected. They're not there anymore, so they don't have ready food, so they really do have to prepare. So all of them are busy, and they're all preparing, except for Frederick. And they're all like, Frederick, what are you doing? We're all like gathering all the food and trying to make sure that we're like complete or whatever, and Frederick is just like staring at the sun. Or he's like looking at the flowers in the spring and the summer. Or he's like reading like stuff, like bits of paper and things like that. He's like reading these different things while they're all getting ready. So now it's winter and they're all hanging out together in their place. And they're eating food and being jolly and being merry, and there's plenty of food and all this stuff. But as the winter continues, they get towards the end and the food is running out. As an adult, you say to yourself, well, now, if Frederick had been pitching in, perhaps they wouldn't be in this predicament. But that's not the point of the story. And instead, finally the mice go, okay, dude, like, we're at the end. Where is your stuff? And so Frederick then imparts his stuff. So he talks to them about the flowers and the colors that he's seen. And he drives away the dark gray of winter because he has spent so long and so intent on looking at the colors so that he can describe them in such vivid way that his people around him understand and know and can see the same thing he sees. He does the same thing with the sun. He describes the sun to them, and they all feel warm. They forget the cold of winter. It's not there. And then he recites all of the things that he's read, which fill them and take up the space in their kind of empty minds and helps them not think about how hungry or how cold or whatever they are. Now, the only way that Frederick could do those things is because he focused so intently that he could describe these things for his compatriots so vividly that they themselves could feel it as well. Well, sorry, that's what we are called to as well. What are we supposed to study so intently, to know so well, to be so much about? It is the love of God. Amen. We are supposed to know the love of God inside and out, up and down, who he is, what he's about, how he loves, so intently that we can describe that to others with so much vividness that they too can see and feel and taste the love of God. That's the joy. Because the joy is about knowing whose God we are. Whose we are. We are in his hand. It's that relationship that is supposed to provide us joy when the circumstances around us are not joyful. You know? It really is about that. So whether it's a diagnosis that is bad, whether it's a relationship that's gone wrong, whether it's whatever is happening in your life that isn't so great, it's not that we're called to be happy. It's not to put on a face of something that we're not feeling. It is a call to tap into a place of joy because we are the Lord's and we know how he loves. So, the end of my sermon today, I was going to reference this time with a law firm. Some of you know that I retired, sort of, and went to a law firm, and I'm not a good person with change. So I knew it was going to be hard. And I was, okay, I'll trust you, Lord. But it was really hard, and not in the way that I thought. People were awesome. I loved the ethos of this law firm. It's just they didn't have enough work. And things didn't work the way that they thought it would or that I thought I would. And so it was a real struggle. And I'm not great at memorizing scripture. So I'm giving this to you as an idea. Years ago, I had to sing a setting of Psalm 23. And I had that in my head. So through that whole period of time when I was struggling with my anxiety, I was struggling with what was going to happen, I would sit in the steam room at my gym and I would sing that song to myself because that's how I had learned it. So however it is that you can appropriate that for yourself, whether it's reading the scripture every day, which I encourage, trying to memorize it, speaking the truth to each other, being in community so that you can be reminded of who is the God that we serve. That is how we ground ourselves in this place so that we can then be filled with joy. So I thought to end this sermon time, I would just share that song with you, and hopefully I'll make it through. And I just want to thank my friend Caroline. Many of you know Caroline Park, who used to attend here. It's been great having her with us today for that.
My shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Thank you.